This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. Loved and trusted by more than 1 million teachers, IXL enhances your teaching and takes work off your plate so you can make an even bigger impact on your students. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights. Strengthen daily instruction, close knowledge gaps quickly, and set every student up for success. Want to bring IXL to your school? Learn more at IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. We are proud to partner with MyFlex Learning. MyFlex Learning is a scheduling platform that helps middle and high schools meet the individual needs of all students. Students can easily create and manage time for flex blocks, wind time, activity periods, RTI, counselor and teacher appointments, and so much more. Even my favorite, synergy time. And with its built-in accountability tool and reporting features, MyFlex Learning solves your challenges around getting kids where they need to be and understanding how flex time is spent. Make flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE. to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE.
I'll introduce myself, Dan Brown. I'm with the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. We are the newest agency in the federal government under the Department of Homeland Security. We are tasked with protecting the 16 sectors of critical infrastructure, which includes state, local, tribal, territorial, and also the private sector. Much of critical infrastructure is owned by the private sector, whether it's, you know, the Avistas, Columbia Pipeline, whatever. We will support those folks and offer federally funded / free assessments and advising to anyone in those spaces. So this is going to be a little more technical conversation. We did some presentations for Cybersecurity Awareness Month for WATEC, State of Washington Technology. And this presentation and some other phishing and vishing presentations were saved on the WATEC Cybersecurity Awareness Month 2023 website. I have a link at the very end. So if anyone wants to refer to that and get some more material, it is there. So my agenda is just to talk about the foundational technologies of email security from the server side, SPF, DKIM, DMARC, briefly touch on authenticated receive chain, email header analysis tools, and conclusions and recommendations. I apologize, it'll be kind of technical, not the most exciting, but I will just offer some information. So first of all, why use SPF, DKIM, and DMARC? With SMTP, by default, it'll permit any computer to send email claiming to be from any source address, unless you use SPF, DMARC, and DKIM. So I do recall once in early 2000s, I had a coworker that we used Pine. I think I was at WSU at the time, and he was able to send an email from bill.gates@microsoft.com, and it appeared just like it was from him. There was no authentication. It was an open relay and was able to do it. Times have changed, and fortunately we have better authentication methods in place. So the first of those is security policy framework. Yes. Let's move forward on mine. Let's see here. So he didn't, let's go slideshow.
Where's the clicker?
Oh. So they're separate.
Okay.
I understand that. So I can't just make it go. Right, but okay. But I have to forward it here to see my notes. That's okay. We'll do it. Okay. So there was my foundation. Let's see. Agenda, sender policy framework. Basically, sender policy framework is an authentication method to ensure sending the sending mail server is authorized to originate mail from the sender's domain. So in other words, you have to list all of the IP addresses or domains that are allowed to send email on behalf of your domain. And it directs policy enforcement actions, whether to allow all or not, can be misconfigured to be overly permissive. An example of that is if you include a plus all at the end of the SPF record, It'll allow any IP to send on your behalf, which is not good. If you use incorrect CIDR notation, so for example, you know, if your intention is to have a slash 20 and you inadvertently use a slash 2, rather than 4,000 addresses, you would allow about a billion addresses, which is 25% of all IPv4. And it's just one character, and that can leave it wide open. Okay, components of an SPF record. There's a version number, mechanisms, quantifiers, and modifiers. So the mechanisms are, you know, describe the host as authorized inbound for a given domain. And SPF record can have zero or multiple mechanisms. Some of the common ones are quantifiers. So in the quantifiers, you can have a pass, a hard fail, a soft fail, or a neutral. So what does it do with the message if it doesn't meet the quantifiers in the SPF record? So modifiers, they're used to send a query to other domains. Modifiers, easy to understand compared to other mechanisms, used when you have several domains, need to use the same SPF record everywhere. So an example, user to provide an explanation when a fail quantifier is included on a match mechanism. The explanation will be placed in the SPF log. So that's a good place to get additional data. So example SPF records. So I have two examples here, and I'll walk through what each of the components are. The first is the version number. Everything is SPF1. That's the current version. Also on that line is an include. So you can use an include and it will use DNS. It will look up all the records for that. That's a misspelling of Google, but you get the idea. It'll list the current version. It'll list what the A authorized the host detected in the A record of the domain to send the emails. And so if you look in the second one, you see it has the include and specific IPs. And the SPF or RFC limits the DNS lookups to match maximum of 10 per SPF. And a lot of times they say where possible, use IP addresses rather than domains, because then you can avoid the lookup time and it'll improve your performance. So, okay, whoops. So this was, I'll take that one. Okay, so is anyone in here familiar with configuring SPF? Do you manage mail servers? Okay. Have you looked at your SPF record in the last year? Okay, that's good to hear. We have a few, so thank you. I'm glad to know I have a few techie folks in the audience. So any questions about SPF that I can? Okay, we'll go on to DKIM. So DKIM, and just for reference, SPF, I believe it was originally published in around 2000, and I think it became an RFC in about 2002. It was very close to that timeline. So DKIM is a standard. It was defined in RFC 6376 in September of 2011, and has had a couple updates since then. With DKIM, it allows for a domain to prove it's responsible for a message and it was not altered as it traveled its delivery path. So the SPF was more with the pathway and who can send, and this is more with the validity of the content of the email. So there is a signature that's the public key. It's a public-private key relationship, and DNS has the public key published. So then the message can be encrypted and then decrypted at time of reading. Anyway, creates and decodes the DKIM signature. DKIM signatures are inserted into the header of the email and then used at decryption. And again, I said that's standard with a couple RFCs. So an example of DKIM, this particular one, the most relevant ones are the required ones. B is for the signature, BH is for the body hash, is for the signing domain, and S is for the selector. So if you take a look at that example there, you can see the version number. You can see they're using RSA hash. Whoops. Okay, there we go. Sorry. So you can see version 1 gives an example, shows the hash there listed in the text. And again, that's in the header. So, and a CNAME record can also be used to point at a different TXT record. For example, when an organization sends on behalf of another. So let's look at, okay. So DMARC actually improves upon the existing security measures of DKIM and SPF. It kind of ties them together, if you will. A DMARC policy allows a sender's domain to indicate that their messages are protected by SPF and or DKIM, and they tells the receiver what to do if neither of those authentication methods pass, such as to reject the message or quarantine. So does it end up in the spam or just get spam folder or just get rejected? And DMARC kind of works with domain alignment. It requires SPF and DKIM to be in place. And domain alignment basically means that they need to match the message from the domain with the return path domain, from the sending domain to the return path domain, just to ensure that someone's not trying to send it out as a known domain and the return path, if they hit reply, is different. So, and basically you have to create a proper DNS text record for this, and that'll tell the policy where it reports to and the subdomains. Okay, I think it's skipped. Okay, there's a sample config. So in DMARC, in this example, you know, it shows the version number DMARC 1. Again, it's current version, and it shows what it does, whether it quarantines, what percent of the mail messages are being scanned and run against that rule set, the subdomain policy, and what you are all to send the reports to. And it's very helpful. If these reports get sent, if you're a mail administrator, it gives you a good chance to look at those and, you know, and see what is failing and why it's failing. So let's see what else we got. Okay, so let's. And this is an example of a report. It basically just shows, you know, how each message was affected, whether it passed, failed, and why. You know, if it passed SPF and DKIM or just one or the other, and what the resultant action was. So they're typically sent once a day, and this one has been reformatted in tabular form just to be easier to see. One additional comment I'll make is most of this is available, you know, the technology hasn't changed. I listened to a number of podcasts and did a bunch of research on this, and the most relevant information is from delivery experts, ES professional mail people that are using mail to send out marketing email. They're sending thousands or millions of email, and they want to make sure that their email gets through. So they talk about it from a little different lens, but the technology is still all the same, and you need to have it configured in such a way that good mail gets through and bad gets rejected. So future additional options. So there are some different email configuration technologies that are out there. One of them is a brand message indicator, a brand indicator for message identification. It uses DKIM, SPF, and DMARC to verify, adds a brand logo to the name of the email sender as additional validation. Again, the email marketing companies are in support of this because then they can show that it's actually from their company, and it'll show their logo as an additional form of authentication and validation. So another is new security features that were launched by Google on October 3rd of 23, and they're coming from Yahoo in February of 24. And basically bulk email senders that send more than 5,000 messages will have to have new authentication requirements. So for those, you know, marketing folks that send out lots and lots of email, they will have requirements, and the intent is to, you know, reduce the number of spam. And the senders will be required to process unsubscribe requests within 2 days. So the third one that I'll talk about as an option is authenticated receive chain, or ARC. Basically, it makes a list of trusted ARC senders to trust legitimate indirect mail flows. So just another configuration option. And there's an example of MARC. Basically, it's It helps to keep the message from being modified in transit and adds a list of trusted intermediaries. And it just shows, I have two graphics, one that shows a mail flow with ARC and one without. And just that adds that additional DNS check through the pathway of mail. And it shows, yeah, when you, and for this, you have to use SBF, DKIM, and DMARC. Okay. Real briefly, we'll talk about message header analysis. So it's a great tool that's available in nearly all email clients, allow you to see technical details about routing and pathing, including SPF, DMARC, and DKIM information. Every header is different and some metadata is optional, but the first four are required, the sender, recipient, date, and subject. So anti-spam laws for most countries require the following: a from label that should either be the name of your business or your own name if your subscribers know you by that. The reply to address needs to be a functioning address and should connect to you or someone at your company who can answer questions. Also, the domain in your sending email needs to be correct. And the subject line, this is a bit more tricky. The subject line must pertain to the content of the email in some way. Doesn't mean you can't have fun and have a tricky email line, but you can't say, this is an email from Dr. Smith confirming your appointment on Tuesday, and then open it up and have someone try and sell you, you know, a new laptop or something. It has to be related to the content in the email. And again, the country laws are a bit different, so you have to review those on your own. Okay. And this is just how you get in. I mean, most of you folks probably know how to do that. Just go into, look at message headers, and some will have more details than others, but, you know, same idea. Okay, and this is an example of a message header. It's kind of difficult to see, but it's a message from biola.edu, from Stephanie to David. This particular one happens to be an internal email. And, you know, it's an example of how full email headers are more than just the to and from lines. They contain information, including every hop a message is taken across the internet to get from the sender to the destination. You know, the required areas, the return path is Stephanie's address. Tells you any replies will go there, not another account. Received from has to be correct. And because it is correct, on C, it's a pass because we see that the IP address is a permitted sender. So all email from biola.edu will be handled by Google since they provide their email service. Tools. There are a number of tools out there. If you just, you know, do a search for SPF tools or SPF DKIM DMARC check, there's a number of free tools and most of them have a paid option. The one I use for some of my examples was DMARTian. You know, again, not necessarily the best. It's just one that shows you can put your email domain in and it will tell you if your SPF, DKIM, and DMARC are properly configured. And it will also tell you your status on a blacklist. I believe there are about 93 common blacklists. And one example of this, I can recall where it was an issue when I worked at WSU, we had one of our emails that ended up on a blacklist and we had federal grant information that was trying to come through. And that email, I don't remember, it was Department of Education, but either way, that email was not allowed to come through because we were on a blacklist. So it's important to at least know your status and make sure that somehow you haven't gotten there. Okay. Oh, that one got put in the wrong spot. That's just an example of SPF records. Should have been up above. Here again, I mentioned DMARTian. This is an example. I put in nasa.gov just to see what it said. And, you know, you can expand out and see what the DMARC, the SPF, and the DKIM records are. It'll list the public key. For DKIM, you can see it there because that's available in DNS and your SPF and DMARC are configured. But, you know, it's a good starting point. Pick one of the tools, take a look and see what your domain looks like. So have Have any of you folks used some of these tools? Which one did you use? What's that? Okay. Nice. Well, that's good. And do you use the free versions or the paid versions? Yeah. And that's it. I mean, okay. So I got two or peace out. I guess the same. So yeah, they're good tools. I would recommend using them. Conclusion, review your existing config, use tools, check DNS, add, modify, and update as necessary. Review your client settings to make sure that you have security features enabled. You know, if it's a Windows box, use group policy to push out the appropriate settings. Research new email trends. You know, I mentioned email service providers. They have blogs and podcasts. Again, they're delivery professionals. It's from a different stance, you know, the marketing side, but the technology is still the same and you can learn a lot. And AI and analytics are also being used heavily by providers to help filter spam. So even if something looks fishy in an email, you know, there might be additional technologies that are blocking it, even if you don't have everything configured quite right. So that concludes it. Again, WatTech had Cybersecurity Month, and there's a copy of this presentation that I provided on my own laptop when it was working. And there's a recording if you want to look at it. I'm Dan Brown. I am the local cybersecurity advisor for Spokane area. My email is there. Grab a card on the table in the back. Come talk to me. I'd be happy to help. So thank you.
There are lots of solutions out there for giving students what they need when they need it. But when do they actually do all of those things? You need flexible time. When added into your master schedule, flex time enables students to get extra help or intervention, meet with teachers, make up work, get physical exercise, and try new enrichment offerings. If you're thinking of giving it a try, check out MyFlex Learning, which unlocks the benefits of flexible time without all the headaches you get with it usually. Its intuitive design and SIS integration makes implementation and training a breeze. Make your flex time work for you. Visit myflexlearning.com/BE to learn more and receive $500 off your first year. That's myflexlearning.com/BE. Do you want to save time on prep work, increase student achievement for all of your students, reliably meet Tier 1 standards? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to ixl.com/BE to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve these goals. That's ixl.com/BE.